from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in the hour ahead, Oakland native Anthony Lucero will join us to talk about his award-winning debut movie, East Side Sushi, about a working-class Latina single mother who strives to be a sushi chef. Then at 10:30, novelist Bill Clegg will be our guest. Literary agent and memoirist is the author of the highly praised novel, Did You Ever Have a Family, that has been long listed for the National Book Award. Forum is next. It's after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of the Forum program. And in this hour, we're going to talk to Anthony Lucero, who is a filmmaker. In fact, he's from the Bay Area. He was born in Oakland, on the east side of Oakland, and grew up there and made a film called East Side Sushi, which is about a young Latina mother who encounters gender and cultural barriers as she tries to become a restaurant sushi chef. And it's the debut feature film for this Oakland-raised filmmaker, who joins us to talk about a number of things: independent filmmaking, his transition from editing visual effects to directing, and maybe what really makes ethnic food authentic. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. And Anthony Lucero is also a graduate of San Francisco State, where he studied film. And what else do we need to know about you? Well, this is a film, actually, that came out of your working in visual effects, and you work for Lucasfilms, and you work visual effects for Iron Man and the Twilight Saga, and a good resume here, but really wanted to make a feature film. So what, save the money from all that visual effects work?
I did. That's what I do. I used to make short films before, so I would work mostly in visual effects. I mean, I work as a documentarian as well, and so I'd make my money on these jobs and then shovel them into my passion projects, and that was no different for East Side Sushi. I just saved up my money, and it was one of those decisions where, should I put my money towards a house or a condo, or should I make a film? And I remember asking my mom this question. Like, Ma, you know, I what should I do? Should I do what's right, or what I think is right in my heart, which is make a film, or should I do the smart thing and...
Your mother's not going to tell you to go against your heart, obviously.
No, she did. She said, you make
that
movie.
Did she
really? No, she did. She's like, you go make that movie, son. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I did.
Well, it's good that you got that inspiration and imprimatur from your mother. But let's talk about the movie. I mean, it's a charmer from all the really raves it's gotten, and described as a feel-good movie and described as a movie that really makes people walk out with a very upbeat feeling. This came from just an observation on your part?
It did. This was years ago. I was sitting in a cafe, actually in Alameda, and this was years before I had a smartphone. So, you know, now I'm enamored with my smartphone, look at it all the time like everybody else. But back then, I used to observe the world a bit more. So I was just watching this guy wash dishes, and I'm eating my eggs and bacon, and I thought, well, what does this guy aspire to be? And I knew what I aspired to be. I aspired to be a filmmaker still. But I wondered, what does he want to do with his life? Does he, maybe he wants to be a cook here in this little greasy spoon restaurant. And I like slice of life films. And I thought, well, this is a good writing exercise. If I could tell this story about this dishwasher who wants to be a cook in this little greasy spoon restaurant, then I've done my job as a writer. So it was just a self-imposed writing exercise I did. I was writing it as a short film, and then...
You wrote it not as a story, but as a film then.
As a short film, as a story, narrative story. And I was having sushi probably that week because I like sushi. And I thought, well, maybe this character wants to become a sushi chef instead. And the guy that was washing dishes, he was Latino, as are most of the kitchen staff in California.
As are you.
As am I. I'm Mexican-American, born here, born in Oakland. And and I like that cross-cultural aspect, not necessarily two cultures fighting or butting heads, but learning from each other. So Japanese, Mexican in one film, two leads, was interesting. So I started to write this film, and I had to stop because I didn't know the techniques and what does it take to become a sushi chef. So I started – I took classes. I read books. I sat in Japanese restaurants and I would watch the kitchen staff from the back to the front. I would watch that flow. And then I started to interview sushi chefs and it just dawned on me that I've never seen a woman do this job. And I'm from the Bay Area, and you would think of any place in the world where you would find a female sushi chef, it would be here in the Bay Area. So I thought I was very intrigued with that. And so I immediately changed the original character was Juan, and I changed him to Juana. And that's kind of the story we have today.
And you have a documentary background.
I do.
So to some extent, just the study of something engaged you, ignited in you in the study of learning about sushi and then thinking I'm going to shift genders here. Wouldn't that be fascinating? And so forth. It's really it's fascinating how these things emerge and how the film gets built from that. And you want to do a film about everyday people, didn't you? Ordinary people?
Yeah. I do. And documentary filmmaking is my background. And actually, one of the nicest compliments I get from people is they'll say it felt like a documentary. It felt very real. And that's what I was going for from the get-go, from the screenplay. I wanted reality. I wanted it. I wanted subtleties. And I wanted it just to feel like, you know, we're going into somebody's life and capturing it. And people know it's an actor up there, but they ask. Some people ask, oh, well, where's her restaurant? Where can I go to her restaurant? And I've had people ask that. It's like, no, she doesn't exist, unfortunately.
But there are restaurant people in Oakland who were very had real largesse to you, I mean, and gave you kind of free rein.
Plus, they did.
The film, you really wanted to get Oakland in this film, didn't you?
I did. I filmed in Oakland, and it's where I'm from. And Oakland was a bigger part of the film because Oakland is very multicultural. I think it's the perfect place to set this film. It's a food mecca. Like, all the great restaurants are in Oakland right now. And Oakland is very multicultural, and with multicultures, you have just fantastic food. So I think it's the perfect setting for this film. And aside from that, I mean, my family's in Oakland, so if you know, they were a big help in the film. It was a very, very low budget film, and we had just zero money. So I had to pull as many resources, my friends, my family, to help, to be extras, you know. My family, they've never worked in film, but I would tell my brother, that C-stand, can you grab that and move it? He's like, well, what's a C-stand? Like the metal thing with the arms, can you grab that and move that over? But I needed my family there to help to make food for the crew. And of course, that's another reason why I filmed in Oakland.
So you learned about sushi and your brother learned about film.
He did, exactly.
let's actually hear something from – here's a scene where the mother, Juana, who's a kitchen assistant in a local sushi restaurant, brings home some sushi rolls for her daughter and father to try. And it's clear that her family is, shall we say, unfamiliar with Japanese food.
What is it?
That's what they call sushi, mi amor.
Yes, it's muy delicioso. This is the food at mommy's restaurant. It's Japanese. This is the California roll, the spicy tuna roll, the raider roll, and that one is the rock and roll.
Ooh, what's a rock and roll?
It's really yummy. You will like it.
Well, what's in it?
It's barbecued eel.
Eel? Oh, that's gross.
Really, honey, you will love it.
Is that dinner?
You were saying to me, Anthony?
Oh, no, I find that scene funny. I find it funny. I don't know if other people find it funny.
Oh, it is funny. The little girl's adorable. And the father was a big hit, too. There was a lot of strong response to him from what I'm reading.
Yeah. People love Rodrigo, who plays Apa. And he's from Oakland as well. But, yeah, people just fall in love with him. It's whenever we do our Q&A and he's up there on stage, he's like, I'm Rodrigo Duarte Clark, I played Apa, and just the crowd just goes crazy for him.
Were you influenced by John Favreau's film Chef comes to mind, and also Big Night, which I guess was Stanley Tucci's movie.
Yes.
I mean, these are movies about food.
Yes.
And about restaurants, and influences at all?
No influences. I mean, Chef came out after I made my film, but I have to say there are people that are food film advocates. They go – whenever there's a food film, they go and see these. And I'm not one of those people. But
you're not a foodie.
Oh, God. I love food. Are you kidding? I love to eat it. I don't necessarily like to make it, but I love to eat it. Oh, man. Yeah. But there's a certain food films, they spend a lot of time to make the food look pretty and beautiful, and you just want to eat it. And I didn't have the budget to do that, to set up these beautiful shots of sushi. So we did the best job we could. My DP, Marty, did the best job he could under the circumstances. But, you know, if we had more money, we would have hired more sushi chefs to help and make the shots pretty. But, you know, I people seem to run out to sushi restaurants after the film, so that I guess it's a good indicator that it makes people hungry.
Anthony Lucero is with us. He's a writer and director of East Side Sushi, his first feature film. And by the way, his short film Angels in Wheelchairs won Best Drama Documentary and the Grand Prize Award for Best Film at the ALEC Independent Film Festival. And he worked on visual effects, as we said, for some blockbusters, including Star Wars Episodes 1 and 2, Pirates of the Caribbean, Iron Man and The Mummy, and Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Did you get that training in visual effects at San Francisco State?
I did not. San Francisco State was more, I would say, pure, where we learned how to shoot on film. We shot on 16mm film, which is mostly dead now. But that's the craft we learned, and we learned how to light and how to write scripts. And then when I got into the sort of real world, that's where I learned video and visual effects. And I grew up watching films of the 80s. I mean, that was, I think, the best time to grow up was in the 80s, because, you know, Star Wars, E.T., Back to the Future.
Where'd you learn all about special effects?
Well, for one, I used to watch those on TV all the time back then. I would just sit, and I was enamored with visual effects. I wanted to know how these films were made back then. And so it was a dream to go work for Industrial Light and Magic, which I eventually did.
And this film of yours is a kind of dream, too.
I mean,
this at one point she says, I don't want to be in the back anymore. It's right. A kind of desire to make something of herself and to move into the front.
Right.
Let me do this. We have some limited time with Anthony, and I know there are many of you who may have some questions or comments. May actually want to ask him about this odyssey of his from well, working on special effects to becoming a filmmaker, and a filmmaker who has gotten a good deal of recognition for this film. If you'd like to join us, I want to invite you to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, and you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum. I thought we'd hear one other cut from the film. This is Juana secretly watching the sushi chef while working in the kitchen and practicing what she sees when she gets home. I can't see this, obviously, but after a lot of hard work practicing, she becomes an expert at many kinds of roles and wants to become a chef, as we said. And here she's arguing with the restaurant owner about her aspirations.
I deserve to be out front, out here.
No. Customers come in and they want authenticity.
I gave them authenticity, but you want to give them an illusion. The special, the bonito, bonito, that's mine. I invented that.
It's a crowd favorite.
The Japanese have a tradition, and we respect that tradition.
This is not Japan. Sure, you tell women that their hands are too warm to prepare fish, that their perfume will affect the taste. Kyung, he smells like an ashtray.
Well, you get to some real cross-cultural moment there, right. Don't you? And you wanted pretty much to show that kind of clash of cultures, but at the same time, cross-cultural.
Exactly.
Amity, I guess, and synthesis.
Right. I just wanted to sort of bring up the idea of, I mean, it's an underdog story, but I also want to bring up the thought of, well, what if you do walk into a restaurant, say, a taqueria, and there's Asians cooking the food, which is a line that comes up in the film, like, what would you think?
Mexicans often cooking Italian food, which
exactly.
Is commonplace.
Mexicans, Latinos, they cook everything. No matter it's French or doesn't matter what the restaurant is. They're the ones that are cooking a lot of the food. So what's the big leap, you know, from that to Japanese food? And so I just wanted people to think about that.
Here's Maria, who writes on our Facebook page, I saw this movie at Cinequest Film Festival. It was a joy to see pretty sweet art being created in the Bay Area by a local filmmaker. Fell in love with both Juana and Aki, but I do have to admit, it left me super hungry after watching
it. That's good.
You've been hearing that from a lot of people.
I do. I need to get a cut kickback, I think, from a lot of these sushi restaurants at some point.
You eat a lot of sushi yourself?
I do, yes.
What do you prefer as far as sushi?
I'm slightly embarrassed to say that I do love California rolls. I really do.
Why embarrassed? I do too.
Because it's not authentic. It's, you know, born here in California. But I do love salmon nigiri, tuna nigiri, any kind of nigiri. I love that. I could eat that every day.
And eel?
I do love eel, barbecued eel. I do love it. But come on, a lot of people just, as soon as they hear it, they're like, no.
Well, like in the first cut we heard.
Right.
Here's William who tweets, answer seems obvious, but people use outward appearance as a shortcut for conclusions about life experience.
Hmm.
That was a thought to reckon with. Let me bring a caller on in the meantime. And this is Leslie. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hi, Anthony. It's Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say what an awesome film this was and such an inspiration for young girls. I mean, my daughter, we keep talking about it. We can't wait for to take her to go see it because I know you personally, I don't think you expected to make such an inspirational film for little girls, but it really, really is.
Thank you.
That must be music to your ears. Huh?
It is. And my producer, Julie Rubio, is very happy to work on the film, too. She felt it was a very inspirational film for young girls to see. And that was one of the reasons why she jumped on board to do it.
And the name Rubio?
Rubio, yeah.
Not Marco. Or,
not Marco, no.
No, not related to Marco Rubio. We were just talking about the debates in the last hour. Let me thank you for the call, Leslie. And by the way, if you'd like to join us, it's 866-733-6786. Where do you go from here? More films? This was the debut.
This is my debut. Yeah, there's always more films knocking around in my head. I was doing a documentary before I made East Side Sushi, but documentaries take kind of a long time to make, to edit, to shoot. So I put that on the back burner for a bit. But I'm working on that again. It's about tribute bands that dress up as the Beatles, Led Zeppelin. And so I'm following a few of those bands right now. And then I'll go back to narrative after that with another screenplay.
Could you do sushi now? I mean, have you learned enough that you could do the cutting?
Gosh, I could boil water. But, no, you know, I did take sushi classes. I took them here in San Francisco, and it's very difficult. No, I can't make sushi. It's very difficult. The rice, you have to have this perfect consistency of moisture on your fingertips so that the rice doesn't stick to your hands. And boy, that is just, that's an art form.
It is an art.
It is.
Yeah. Or maybe even a craft more than an
it
art.
Is.
So getting the actress to do that slicing and, I mean,
yeah.
You know, a thousand cuts could be there easily or something along those lines.
Deanna Torres, she plays Juana. So she had no training before I gave her the screenplay. And so she – and because I worked in visual effects, I'd always planned on doing these what are sort of called takeovers where you shoot the professional hand double slicing and then you would tilt the camera up to reveal the actor and it feels like it's the same person. So I was planning on doing this and we were trying to find the appropriate hands for somebody to do all the chopping. So 2 months go in that Deanna had the screenplay and she sends me a text that says, you want Juana to chop really fast. I said, yeah, very fast. And I said it tells the backstory of Juana working in the kitchen. She's really good with the knife. And I think it makes that leap of her becoming a sushi chef a little more plausible. So, yes, she has to chop very fast. And she says, well, how fast? I said, okay. So I went on YouTube and I found this video of this guy slicing these mushrooms rapidly. Boom, 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 boom. So I sent her the video. A couple minutes go by, a little bubble pops up, and it says, I'm faster than that guy. So within the 2 months, and then she sends me a video of her chopping cucumbers. So within those 2 months, she just dove in. She took knife classes, and she ended up going to Sushi Institute. Her and Yutaka Takeuchi, who plays Aki, they both went to the Sushi Institute in Torrance, and they had this two-week intensive class on how to make sushi. And yeah, those two actors just dove into this role.
Or cut into it.
Cut into it.
We asked our listeners on Facebook, what makes ethnic food authentic? And here's Wayne recalling a similar question of authenticity. He says, I remember the first time I saw the sign Fuentes School of Karate. I almost fell over laughing. In retrospect, I didn't know how racist I was or am. It's understandable.
Hey, I'm laughing.
Yeah. Here's Jess who writes, my father actually owns a Japanese restaurant in the Diamond District in Oakland where he employs a little old Korean lady part-time as a sushi chef. I also used to work at the restaurant as a waitress where I was exposed to so many different kinds of people, one of the perks of working in a culturally diverse community. Can Anthony name any particular restaurants that he visited for inspiration or ideas for his film?
Well, we filmed in Coach Sushi, and Kamakura Restaurant in Alameda was one of the restaurants that I hung out in and asked a lot of questions. Angelfish in Alameda, B-Dama. There are all these restaurants in the Bay Area that I either hung out in or while we were filming, because there were real sushi chefs working in the restaurant, like at Coach Sushi, the actor would place the knife down and the sushi chef would come over and say, no, you place it horizontally in front of you. You don't place it on the side like that. So it was a learning experience as we were filming. But no restaurant in particular that I would call out as, inspiration.
Gee, you could have got a nice plug for somebody.
Well, that's
all right. Better maybe to hold back. Here's Sam. Sam is in San Bruno, and he joins us. Hi, Sam.
Hi. I have a quick comment about the cross-cultural aspect of the film. This happened a couple of years ago. My wife and I were in Millbrae, and we walked past a Japanese restaurant that had a Help Wanted sign in the window, and it was in Spanish.
There you go.
Yeah. But again, that's because most of the kitchen help are Spanish-speaking, and it doesn't matter what the restaurant is. So why can't those people come to the front and make the food?
Yeah, thank you for the call. Let me bring another caller on here, and that's Diane. Diane, welcome.
Hi. Well, this is right on topic. It's funny. I tuned in, and last night I was in a little popular, wonderful sushi restaurant in Mill Valley, and I look over at three guys in the front cooking. Yeah, it's kind of cool to look. And I'm sure that two out of three of them were Hispanic or Latino. And I didn't interview them or anything, but I could double check that. But they were out front. It was all men. But I thought the interesting thing was I had a moment like, oh, well, is that okay? And I thought, oh, well, this is delicious and top-notch. And, of course, and probably they were trained by I'm thinking they were trained by Japanese guys. I might be that's a bad assumption, right? But it was kind of funny to see that right there.
Well, right. But we live in a very cross-cultural community, and Diane, thank you for the call. Jim, who plays Kyung in the movie, writes by email, will somebody please mention that Eastside Sushi has won 16 film festival awards so far? Is that right, Anthony?
It's closer to 13, but yeah, it's done really well, it's surprisingly, because it's a film that I thought, it's a small film, and I didn't know if it would resonate past the Bay Area, so I'm just so happy to.
Did you start off at the Napa Film Festival?
No, we started off at CineQuest. That was
It was CineQuest first.
Yeah.
So you were able to avail yourself of a lot of local attention here.
It's done great in the Bay Area, which is why we have so many theaters here releasing the film. But it's across the country. It's done incredibly well, which is just shocking to me.
Well, good luck to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
More success and maybe more films.
Thank you. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to look forward to that rock film that you're talking about. Anthony Lucero, again, writer and director of Eastside Sushi, his first feature film. He's also the filmmaker of Angels in Wheelchairs. And we have another segment coming up. In the segment coming up, we're going to meet Bill Clegg. He wrote a novel called Did You Ever Have a Family? This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.